Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, watch over us this day and every day of our life. We ask you to protect us and provide for us in every way. And we desire to love you back, be of service to you, Lord, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen. The love that God has for us is amazingly awesome. If you think for a moment about how much we love ourselves, well, we love ourselves a lot. And then when you think about God's love for us, how much more He loves us. It's just amazing. We think about that human love, and because it's human, it's not perfect. But God's love is perfect. So when we think about God's perfect love, we can just say, wow. And isn't that amazing? Thank you, Lord. We try so hard to understand what's around us and to do things right. And yet we all seem to make mistakes, sometimes little ones, sometimes they're a little bigger. And it's good to remember that everyone makes mistakes. What do we do when we make a mistake? We correct it, we apologize, and then we go forward again, doing the best that we can. Oh, and I was saddened that last week on this broadcast, I mistakenly gave a number about the number of flu deaths in the United States. And I had some different numbers in my head, and instead of the flu deaths in the U.S., I gave the number of flu deaths in the world. So I'm sorry about that. I just had too much in my head at that moment. Well, every year we do have lots of deaths just going on all around us, some of them from one cause or another, certainly from ordinary flu. And by comparison, this coronavirus that is going on in everybody's mind it's not that many people that are actually dying from it. So we have to look at the category of flu and judge how serious the whole situation is. Now, in China, certainly, there are very large numbers of people who have contracted that virus, and the number of people who are dying, well, it's noticeable, but because of their very, very large population in China, it is still a very small percentage of China's population. So how seriously should we take it in America? Good question. Because not so many Americans have died at all from this flu virus. Really, very few have. And when you consider what common flu does to the U.S. population, well, here are the numbers. It's somewhere between 60 and 80,000 people per year die of the common flu in the United States. Amazing. The numbers are so great. If you think about how many people die from automobile accidents, that's about 40,000 people a year. So we have to put the numbers into perspective. It's just that things really do happen in life, and not all of them are good. I think about the number of people who die from hospital and medical mistakes. 280,000 people a year. That's a lot of people. That's what the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine says. 280,000 people per year who die from medical mistakes. So, relative to the flu or the coronavirus, well, we just have to put things into perspective. And by the way, the leading cause of death in the United States is heart disease. 611,000 people per year. And the second place is cancer. There are 585,000 people who die from cancer every year. And then there is medical mistakes at 280,000. So, I hope it makes you a little less concerned about the number of people who die from the common flu viruses at 60 to 80,000 per year, or the coronavirus, which is, at this point, hardly noticeable. So let's not get too afraid of the coronavirus, okay? And I know there are reports that talk about how bad it could be, but it's not. Not yet, anyway. So it's okay to give it some thought about what if it was that bad? What would we do? But it's not that bad yet. So just, yes, be cautious. That's fine, be cautious. But don't be overly concerned. Put it into perspective. I know that if you are one of those very concerned people, then to me it's reasonable to think about a quarantine happening in the United States. That's a real possibility if people were to be quarantined. So if that's your concern, then think about what you would need. You would need just to live. You'd need water and food. So let's see, water, food, warmth, and that would mean warm blankets, warm clothes and blankets. So for the water, you can always have a few gallons stored, and certainly more if you want to. Then you store it in a dark place, in a dark container, and get a passive water filter. Then you've got the water taken care of. For food, well, that is so individual. You just have to figure out what it is you like. And I think of whole grains because they last so long. And then you get a grain grinder, and sugar, salt, and oil, and spices. Maybe dehydrated vegetables too. So that's food. Along with the food, you can consider getting a camp stove with a cast iron pot and a lid on it. I say cast iron because cast iron provides us with iron for our diet, for our body. So, all these are just choices that we make. Are we really concerned about getting quarantined? Well, probably not until it happens. So, think a little bit in advance, and if these things are a concern for you, then get it. I do talk about the warmth, like warm clothes. That's the biggest thing. And blankets, because if there's an emergency, you never know quite what happens. And I think about if there was an electrical outage, that's also one of those possible things. So, yeah, get some warm clothes and bedding for just in case. If those are your thoughts, by all means, put some time into it. Spend a few minutes and just think. Think about the what if that you want to be prepared for. If there really was one answer, we'd all have the answer. But we all do things differently. You just give it an examination. But make a plan. If you are concerned, I say write it out. And so with your written plan, then take steps maybe every month to accomplish a little bit here and a little bit there. And then pretty soon, you have a preparedness plan. That's been a historically wise thing to do. In history, there have been many people who have suffered a hardship or even were literally starved to death because conditions changed. That's just history. In history, all those things have happened, and they've happened to people groups or countries or even just a neighborhood. So yes, things do happen. How prepared do you want to be? We all have a choice for that. See, in the world, there have been things happening throughout history and even in the last 10 or 20, 30 years. We can often ask ourselves, why did this happen? And it's not like there's one answer. Maybe things just happened, and maybe it's part of a big evil plan. There are people who can support either argument, and we really don't know why things happen, but they do. We don't know why the coronavirus happened, but it did. And now there's so much publicity about it. We hear about it all the time on the news. We don't know how it happened. It could have been, well, the news says from a bat or a rodent or something. I don't know about that. It's hard to track those things down. And it's also hard to track down if it happened scientifically on purpose. Maybe we'll never know the true answer, but we know that many, many people are affected from it. Yeah, in China, what, 50 million people were quarantined? 17 cities were quarantined? Yes, it has made a big, big difference. And there's been some thousands of people who have died from it. Oh, I think it's about 4,000 now. Maybe it's up to that much. So will it spread to other countries? Yeah. We don't know yet. It's too early to tell. But there's a lot of concern saying, what if, what if, what if? And I don't know what to say about that. I like to look at the what ifs, but, oh, well, I was listening a few days ago to a public warning that was given by a CDC employee, CDC, the Center for Disease Control in the United States. And it was given by Dr. Nancy Messonnier. She is in charge of National Immunization and Respiratory Diseases. Nancy Messonnier. So the message that she gave was a serious warning to get prepared, and that the coronavirus, in her opinion, was sure to spread. And it was not a matter of if, it was a matter of when. She described how the United States citizens who had contracted the coronavirus in China or in another foreign country had been brought back to the United States so they could be better cared for. And I thought, oh, Dr. Messonnier, I think that is a big violation of containing diseases. Just what is known? Nobody would have done that, I think. It's my understanding. To bring infected people back into the midst of healthy people, I couldn't help but wonder, what are they trying to do? To spread the virus across America on purpose? Well, that was my thoughts. Oh, I should just tell you about what the doctor said. Let's see. But I was so very shocked by how they could justify bringing infected people into a healthy area in the United States. It just didn't make sense to me. I could not understand how an organization that was all full of doctors could have allowed this to happen. So I don't understand. But okay, back to Dr. Messengay and what she said in that nearly hour-long address about the coronavirus was that it would spread in this country, and that it was not a question of if, but a question of when. And also, how severe would the coronavirus be was another question. The doctor said the spread of it could decline, and it could even become seasonal, but in fact that it would continue to spread. Well, that's what the good doctor said, and there was another thing right in the beginning of her address. It was that we could expect to have community-based surveillance because of this virus. In her own words, she said, PY is another element of surveillance. And PY surveillance is computer video surveillance, which is done through the internet. So I had to ponder that for a little bit. PY surveillance done through the internet, does that mean your computer would be watching you or your phone or something like that? Well, it's a question, but that's what she said. I can't quite tell you what it means, but I sure did wonder about it. So it could be just something that is used to surveil our society even further. And I don't know, but I wondered, how could you not wonder? It's a very unusual term to call something PY surveillance, but that's what Dr. Messengay said. Okay, so where will all this end up? We can only wonder. I think back about 5 years ago, there were a couple of computer companies that were working together, and they were a computer rental. They rented computers to people. And in certain parts of the country, there were quite a few. This company was accused of having the employees use the computers to watch the people in their homes. And so it got taken to federal court, and it was ruled that the privacy of those computer renters had been violated, and so there was some kind of a settlement, but I don't know what it was. I just bring it up to say, those computers, they can watch us in our home, even when they are turned off. We can only guess what the real part of it means, because technology just keeps going, and we really only can figure out part of it. But we are watched, we are listened to, certainly our smartphones can do this, and so can other devices. You look at those smartphones, and they are all using facial recognition. So you get to decide for yourself where all this will end up, and whether or not we are being spied on now, and what it means. It just seems like that's where technology is going. Even when so many years, 5, 10 years ago, if we'd have been told about it, we would not have believed that it would have existed to the level that it does exist today. And so in 5 years, we maybe can't even imagine where the surveillance in our society will go to next. We just don't know. But I do think about the technology, and I think about how much change and advancement it has made. Like with facial recognition, there was a time when that was so widely used, it was new and important. And nowadays, it's not thought of to be that important. In China, they have another form of identifying people positively, which is by their own distinctive walk. And that will monitor a person either from the sky, from the air, or from earth-based equipment. So it's just that technology is only advancing and advancing a little bit more at a time, or a lot more at a time. I know one of the things that always surprises me is how robotics is advancing. It's just, wow, that's what it is. Great big advances in robotics, how a machine can interact with people, with a human, is just amazing to me. Another thing that I find amazing is the quantum computers. How at one time they were 1,000 times faster than a regular mainframe computer. 1,000 times faster. But I'm sure that's much increased today. Quantum computers are just very advanced. And I know that research places have them, and other governments have them, and they are used to run calculations in great quantities. So who knows how fast it is, but they are doing great big calculations that didn't used to be possible to do. And in a shortened time frame, too. I know they are used at CERN, that European research project. A few years ago, the director of science at CERN said that they wanted to open a portal for interdimensional travel between this dimension and another dimension. And that's one of the things that they are using those quantum computers to make calculations with, about how things would be if. So they can do so many calculations so fast that they're able to figure things out that they never were able to figure out in the past, like 10 years ago, 20 years ago. We can only guess where all of this will end up. I don't know, but I wonder about it. And just to talk about different dimensions, it's hard to actually realize that they are talking about dimensional travel. But that is what has been talked about. I cannot help but think of one dimension to another involving spirits, maybe malevolent spirit beings, you know, bad ones, that could then become a part of the spirit, a part of this physical world and relate to it, interact with the physical world that we are in. It's a great big subject. It's a matter of guessing. for us regular people, but the scientists have already looked into to that, and they are calculating this and that already, and how to interact this with that. Well, we have come a long ways, haven't we, in the last 10 or 20 years? Yes. And I think back in time also, because I'm a history guy, so I think, how were things 100 years ago, or 1,000 years ago, or more? I think about 100 years ago, because I've heard stories from my dad about that. I remember reading about World War I, that it was just finishing up 100 years ago. It was called the War to End All Wars. And there were peace talks and settlements and all that. I remember my dad telling me in World War I he wanted to join up, but he was just a little too young and they would not let him. 100 years ago. Is it a short time ago or a long time ago? It depends on what your measurement is. For most of us, it's a long time ago. We don't even live 100 years. Not hardly, anyway. So, at that time, 100 years ago, so much was done with horses still. My dad was a man who could handle horses. As a young man, he could. So, he was considered a teamster. It has a different meaning today, but that's what it meant in that day. And he could handle the team of horses and make them work. To pull a wagon or to pull a scraper, for instance. See, in those days, they dug canals with scrapers and teams of horses. And that was their technology. That's how canals were built. And so I remember those stories. And I remember how my dad had bought a flatbed truck. And the technology was so simple back then. The trucks were underpowered. And it just kind of amazing what they could and couldn't do. If you look back, just a plain old flatbed truck, ever so simple. Anyway, he used it to transport mostly agricultural goods from one place to another, and that was in the 1920s. Yep, the world sure has come a long ways in 100 years. How horses and wagons were used in civilian life, in military life. There were horses used to transport wagons in civilian life and in wartime, even that time, in World War I. And nowadays, it has come so far, we have trucks that are amazing, we have cars that are amazing, and we use them every day. I think of another technological advance we have is that the cars and the trucks can be driven by robots. It's just hard to believe, but that's where we are today. Robots can deliver packages with vehicles or put orders together in factories, and we can order it by our smartphone. And we can pay for it by our smartphone. It's just, wow, technology is, well, we just have gotten so used to it. Of course, we couldn't do without it. Wow. I think of those robots that are on China's state news TV, where they have one male-looking robot and one female-looking robot. And they deliver the news, they speak the news 24 hours a day. And that's one of the things that they can do with technology. Their mouths move correctly, they have the correct expression in their face. Who knows what is coming next? But we don't want to be distracted by all the things that are going on. It's easy to do. I mean, that's just kind of the way people are. We look at new things in our life, and we are distracted by, well, anything, whether it's a person, or it's an activity, or if it's a thing. It's just we get distracted by all of that. I don't know about you, but when I went to school, there would be a foreign exchange student from another country. And that was something new. And of course, it got a lot of attention from all of the students. Oh, there were science projects. Again, something new. It got all of our attention. And we looked at the science, and we looked at the project, and it was fun. It's just what people do. We like to look at new things. Technology changes. I mean, just think going back 1,000 years. 1,000 years ago, there would have been a new spear, a new shield, a new sword. And we would have been looking at that too. Go back 1,000 years and you would have had obsidian knives. An obsidian knife, they were good, but they sure broke easy. And then bronze knives came along. And then steel knives came along. And today, we have such great advances in our life with steel, with knives, with swords, with firearms and military weapons. It's just new things are going on all around us. We have the cell phones going on all around us. Just think, 20 years ago, we hardly used them. No, a few people did, but they weren't in wide use. So we get distracted. What do we get distracted from? Well, probably the most important thing that we do not want to lose sight of is our relationship with God. And that's one of the things that all these new things, all the new technology does, it absorbs our time and our thought so that we don't spend enough time considering our relationship with God. I think eventually we do, because as death draws near and we're looking death eye to eye, we know that there is nothing more important than that relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But so many times we don't realize it until we're actually faced with eternity. There is nothing more important than our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So don't be distracted by all the little goodies, all the little things, all the little whatever it is. We are easily distracted. But there's nothing as important as God. And we don't want to wait till that last minute of life when we are really looking at death, because it's right close. And that is not the time to have our relationship with God. We want it now. Right now. And when you think about people who spend a lifetime denying that there is a God, when you think about someone who denies all their life that they need Jesus, or that Jesus even came to earth in his body, it's hard for people to suddenly change, even in their last minutes of life, and realize that they do need God. They need Jesus. And it's just something that's kind of hard to process quickly if you've spent a whole lifetime denying that there was God, that there was Jesus, and that the Bible was not really a true book. So, look at it now. Right now, you have a chance to spend some time, look at it, and make a real decision, a decision for Jesus Christ. Because there is a God. The Bible tells you about God. The Bible tells you about Jesus. So spend a little time with looking at that question before you are faced with eternity. Yeah. I know we all have different experiences in life. And they're interesting. We talk about them. We meet people. Sometimes we hear about them on a video. It's all very interesting. I remember a few years before I became a Christian, and I heard a man giving his testimony about becoming a Christian. He said that he had been high up in the Illuminati. I'm high up in an Illuminati worshiping family. And they, in that family, worshiped Satan. So, in his testimony, this was a few years back, a couple of decades, I think, and he talked about why he came to Jesus Christ, and that he was surprised that the Satanists that he knew had not tried to kill him, because they often would kill people in their own in their own group that would convert to kill Christianity. And his explanation was that it was obvious that Jesus was more powerful than Satan, and that's why he was still alive. And that's why he could give his testimony at that time. Well, I remember him saying that he was a 100% sold out, born again Christian. And I thought about that, and I thought about what it would mean to be 100% sold out, born again Christian. I remember thinking that it means, you know, no little slip-ups, no little accidental slip-ups that just might be on purpose. Yeah, that's how we are as people. We kind of wiggle around within the wiggle room. But that's what we want to be. We want to belong completely to Jesus Christ, belong to Jesus, and follow him completely, 100%. That's our goals. Now, we know that nobody can do it perfectly because we are all human, and we can only continue to try and depend on God's covering through Jesus Christ. And when you think of God knowing you, God knowing me, better than we know ourselves, well, we just think nothing can be hid from God. So that's why, in our imperfection, we need that covering of Jesus. We need that when we are judged. We are all judged. After we die, then's the judgment. And we need that covering of Jesus to be covered by his righteousness, not ours. We thank Jesus for all that he has done for us. But speaking about judgment, we face judgment when we die. But nations are judged while they are nations. And that means we have consequences for the decisions, for the actions that our nation makes. So this makes me concerned for our nation, because I can see all the decisions, all the actions that we the people and the leaders of our nation have made on every level. And the decisions have not always been good decisions. They certainly have not always been godly decisions. And everything that we do in this way will impact our country. It'll impact our nation, yes. And it will impact the day-to-day life of each one of us. Does that mean it's going to happen immediately? No, it might, but we don't know God's timing. And so many of us gauge our life by economic measures. And right now, the economy is getting better. Better than it was a few years ago. And so while it is getting better, we still see signs of, call it poverty. We see people who are on the streets. That's a big one. We see a growing number of thrift stores where people can buy used things because that's all they can afford. And we see drug treatment centers and clinics. They are more than they ever used to be. All sorts of drug treatment centers or methadone clinics. All these things are prevalent in every U.S. city. The homeless is so evident everywhere, and I don't know what we're going to do about it. I just see that these are a part of the conditions that we have in our country. We wish we didn't, but what do we do about it? I'm not sure, except that we have to support a strong spiritual life. We each have to be faithful to God. And when we live in according to biblical principles, it brings prosperity. That's what I've seen in history. And I see that when we are not following biblical principles, things get more and more difficulty. And that is what we are seeing today. It's a matter of consequences. This is not the judgment of God. This is simply the consequences of our decisions. Now, a lot of people want to talk about our nation will be judged. They want to talk about God judging. That's a really big subject. And that's a really big, powerful thing. We can talk about it because there are examples in the Bible of when God has judged a nation. And there are examples of when God has raised up another nation for the purpose of judging another nation, like Israel. So, where are we today? Is, of course, a big question. I think about Revelation chapter 18, where it talks about it has fallen, and the merchants of the earth stand afar off with fearful weeping and wailing, bemoaning all of the trade that they used to have, when there was trade in silver and gold and pearls and linen, ivory, wood, brass, and iron. There was trade in spices and food of every sort. That's what Revelation chapter 18 kind of talks about. Oh, but there was one other part. The souls of men. I remember that is one that really I had a hard time with grasping that. But as I looked into it, I could see more and more fully what it must be about. And the souls of men that were traded, I thought had to be under the classification of merchandise, so we are trading in the souls of men, and how can that be? And then I thought of people who would get other people addicted to drugs or sexuality, and that there would be an industry created, and that would be merchandising a person's dependency on one thing or another. I thought about how abortions were being merchandised, doing it for money and profit. So when I thought of those things, I got to grasp in my own mind how the souls of men could be traded as merchandise for a money profit. So I thought about that Revelation chapter 18, and it made me just understand it a little bit better. Of course, I wondered about what else it said, that this great city would be thrown down in 1 hour. And that makes me think of a nuclear event. I'm not the only one. There are other people who also see it that way. But that is the way I see it. It could be a nuclear event, and that would cause a tsunami. A nuclear kind of salami. Tsunami. And we don't know quite how, but we can see that that great city would be found no more if there was a nuclear detonation near it. Well, that's what it says in the Bible about the great city being found no more. And we all kind of wonder, well, when would that be? And we say, oh God, tell us when it will be. But he would have told us if we needed to know. We don't need to know. All we need to know is that we want to live faithfully every minute of every day. And that we can put into our hearts and minds that we want to live faithfully to God through Jesus Christ. And I think it's also good to have appreciation for all the wonderful things that we have. Many, many wonderful things. Blessing upon blessing as we go through life. If you look at things in a historical sense, you can see that we live in a very blessed time. If you look at things around us in the world that we live in, you can see again that we are a very, very blessed people. So let's give God thanks. Say thank you, Lord God, for all the things that we do have and that you have given us and made it possible for us to have. Thank you, Lord. Of course, we want to be wise with the resources that we have. We want to use them to the good use. And that really means use them for the kingdom of God, not just our own little selfish wants and desires. But we want to use things to advance God's kingdom. That's what we want. And probably we all think about how to do it in a different way. I think that's just the way God made us, to see things differently. And that's what we want to do. Use our best understanding to yield ourselves to God's plan and his purpose. And not be fearful. Oh boy, do I see fear these days. We see this virus going around, and so many people are afraid. We don't need to be afraid. We need to yield ourselves to God's will. And also be careful that when we when there is a fear going on around us, we want to be careful to preserve the liberties that we have, to preserve the freedoms that we have, and not give them up when we are afraid. So let's also consider that. When I think about the good blessings we have, I think of people in the world who really don't have much at all. I was reading about these people in Asia, Southeast Asia. It's going on right now. It's been going on for over a year now, where there are villages of, I understand there are 15 to 30 families in one of these villages. And if there are a couple of families that convert to Christianity, and then if there is a hardship that comes along, the families are blamed because they brought a strange god, a new god, into the community. And that's one of the things that people deal with right now. They've been dealing with that for a couple of years. And those families can be persecuted by all the families that have a different religious belief. They might not get their share of tools or of soap or of all the different things that they need, like rice, to eat. So that's just a part of how Christians are persecuted in different parts of the world. Let's pray for the people who are being faithful and living faithfully. Let's pray for the missionaries who go out to those areas and spread the gospel, the good news of the gospel to God. So we remember other people, even in the midst of whatever is going on in our country with perhaps trade stopping, perhaps this virus spreading. There's a lot of things that could be going on, and really, we don't know what it means. We just know we need to preserve our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And that's the essential thing in life. And don't be overly concerned with the viruses that are going on or any of the troubles that just seem to affect every one of us in different ways in our life. So don't let the things change your view of what is important. Remember, God is important. God through Jesus Christ. Now, all these things can turn into one degree of trouble or another. Like I said, the virus is one of them. The virus also could completely fade away and become nothing. That's what viruses have done in the past. They just fade away. Look back and think of the viruses that we have heard of as being a great big problem. There was Zika. There was H1N1. SARS, Ebola, Marburg, the hantavirus, and now there's the coronavirus. These are all viruses, and they were presented as something to be afraid of, but they turned out to be nothing. I think there's one that still concerns us. It was the HIV/AIDS virus. That's a virus too. Human immune virus, HIV, and acquired immune deficiency syndrome. Viruses, they're all viruses. They can come out to be a big problem, and they can disappear into obscurity. So there have always been a few scientists who have said that these were man-made, and there have always been a few scientists who have said that, well, you can't even figure out where they came from. They came from an obscure animal, a rodent, a monkey, a bat, or something. You can't trace that. But there are scientists who say otherwise, that they were engineered. And how are we to know the difference? I mean, you can't even look at what a virus looks like. All those very special advanced microscopes are dominated by research projects which are approved by a body of people. And nobody can see what you have to have your project approved to even look in one of those microscopes. So whatever we face in a way of an unknown anything, let us remember to include God in what we understand, and remember God is important to all of it. His ways are biblical ways. And so we can look at biblical wisdom to understand what we ought to be doing. And what I see storehouses in the Bible. And I see that storehouses have saved many alive. That is what I have seen. Now, different people read the Bible and see different things. But I urge you to look for yourself and try to understand what it is that you should be doing, how you should be living according to biblical wisdom. We always have to be careful when we follow man's wisdom because, well, often enough, man's wisdom has to do with the government. And often when people have relied on the government in the past, the government has only hurt them. Millions of people have died because they relied on the governments. So, I say, be following that American tradition and look after yourself. Be as self-reliant as you can be. And to me, that's having a storehouse of goods. That's an important part of keeping yourself preserved. Meanwhile, if you want to listen to this or another broadcast, you can do that by going to www.christtoday, all lowercase and no spaces, and you can get my free preparedness brochure by sending a stamped self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. May you walk with God, and may God walk with you.